It didn't take long for that picture of a bicyclist giving a finger to the presidential motorcade to reach social media when her employer, a federal contractor, found out she was fired. What exactly are employees' legal rights in such situations? For some answers, we turn to Declan Leonard, managing partner of the law firm Berenswag Leonard. Declan, good to have you here in studio.
Great to be here, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Now, the fact that she was a federal contractor does complicate it a little bit, I guess. But let's talk about what is private life, what counts, what matters here.
No, it's a great question. I mean, the fact that she was working for a federal contractor, it still means she's still just a private employee. You know, she doesn't get the federal protections that you would normally have, where you have a lot more First Amendment rights vis-a-vis your job. So the fact that she was working for a contractor is interesting, but I don't think it changes the analysis from a legal side for her.
So if she worked for a clothing store or some other company that was not doing business with the government, same thing would apply.
I think that's right. She still would be a same at-will employee. I think the difference being that, you know, the fact that her employer did business or does business with the federal government probably was a motivating factor, whereas if she worked for Abercrombie & Fitch or another clothing store, you might not have had the action by the employer in this particular case.
So the company must have felt that the association was not good for them. If the contracting officer could say, well, this is an unpatriotic company because they keep unpatriotic people. I'm not saying that. I'm just imagining that could be a thought process.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is we're in tough times right now. I think either side of the equation, you're going to face backlash. I mean, from my understanding, her association with a yoga studio, they've been inundated. And I heard last night that the company at issue here, their Facebook page has also been inundated. So either way, companies know that this is toxic. It's a toxic political environment. There's no doubt.
What do you see as model policies here for companies, and especially contractors, but for all companies, with respect to social media and their employees?
Yeah, this was an interesting angle. The fact that the company premised the firing on violation of their social media policies, and of course, I'm an employment lawyer. Social media policies have been in the news for the last, you know, some odd years, and it's been a hot topic as to what you can and cannot regulate with regard to your employees outside of the workplace. And so in this particular case, I think the company said, look, this was an obscene gesture. You posted it on Facebook. You used it on your Twitter feed. And that was enough for us to show obscenity to premise the firing.
Suppose someone else had identified her and put her on their Facebook page, but she didn't put it on hers. But now in this day and age of linking and tagging everybody, would that have made a difference?
Yeah, it's a great question because I don't think she didn't take the picture in the first place. She
right.
came upon the picture and then ultimately she sort of embraced the picture. That may have been one of the motivating factors for her company to take the action. I think if somebody else did it and she wasn't controlling it, that might have been a harder decision for the company to make because she's not really violating her social media policy. She's just riding her bike on a suburban road when the motorcade goes by. I don't think that that's enough. I think that would have been a little bit more problematic.
I guess maybe it gets to the larger issue of what is your private life anymore, because before social media, your private life was much more private when you worked for a company. If you got smashed every night or you went, whatever, you did something that would not be something you'd want publicly known on weekends, whatever, but people wouldn't likely know it in a mass way the way they do now. Is the social aspect of it the big difference here?
Yeah, with social media, with Facebook and everything, I think what we're seeing, and this case is a good illustration of it, people's private lives are disappearing in some ways. Here is somebody who did something on a bike ride. Her employer would never have known that she was out on a bike, nor would they care. But, you know, because she did it and because it went viral, I think that was another big problem with it. It was such a sort of classic picture of the motorcade and her riding her bike on a Saturday or Sunday morning, and it went viral. And so to say that she doesn't have, you know, to say that she was doing that in her private life, it carries over nowadays. And I think we're seeing a little bit of a disappearing of people's private lives.
We're speaking with Declan Leonard, managing partner of the law firm Berenswag Leonard, where he specializes in employment law. And let's turn to federal employees for a moment. There's the Hatch Act for some types of activities. I'm not sure this would be considered a political activity, but what are rights of federal employees in situations? Suppose she had been a Fed.
So federal employees do have First Amendment protections with regard to their employment. So it's a little bit different than the private sector. People throw around the First Amendment. I think even she said, I had the First Amendment. There's no doubt that she had a First Amendment to do what she did. The problem is in the private sector, there are consequences. She's not going to be arrested for it. So that's what we mean when we say she has a First Amendment Amendment.
That is, the government can't do anything to her, but the Constitution doesn't refer to her employer.
That's exactly right. Whereas on the federal side, as you brought up a great distinction, on the federal side, you know, she would have more protection. She might have been able to give the double finger salute if she was a federal.
If she could ride with both hands off the handlebars.
That's right. That would be a little bit more. She'd be showing a lot of talent in that respect. But she could have done this. And maybe it even shows up on her social media, as long as it doesn't interfere with her job within the workplace. So if she's walking around during work hours in the workplace and she's flipping the bird to anybody she thinks might be a Republican voting for Trump or supporting Trump, that would be a different issue. But the fact that she was doing this on her own time, I think if she was a federal employee, she would have been protected here.
Now, what if she brought a picture to work of that, a framed version of that, and hung it up? Would that get into Hatch Act territory or some sort of territory?
Yeah, I think that's where whether it's Hatch Act, whether it's, you know, sort of a political advocacy, or whether it just is something that is deemed to be disruptive to the workplace. Because that's the way the feds look at it. They say you do have a right to do things. You do have a right to engage in political discourse. But if she had put a picture of her making a gesture, which, you know, it's interesting, the flipping the bird. It seems so many decades ago, and yet now we have, you know, coming back and being designated as obscene. I think if she put a picture in the workplace of her flipping the bird, I think that that would have been problematic.
I guess we have Nelson Rockefeller to thank for making flipping the bird something mainstream, because he did it to a heckler once. What was it, 40 years ago?
That's right. That's exactly right. I think that if she had. If she had, let's just say she stood outside of Trump's golf course, which is, I guess, where he was going that day, and she just had a sign that said, "Not my president." You see those signs a lot around. I don't think that would have been as big a problem. And even if that showed up on her social media feed, I don't think that would have been as much a problem. I think the company was able to base it on the fact that they viewed it as an obscene gesture, the fact that she was flipping off the president of the United States.
So does she, as a contractor employee, have any real legal recourse whatsoever here?
I still see her as an at-will employee working for a federal contractor, but in the private sector ultimately. So I think it's going to be tough for her. I think it would be tough for her to have any real legal recourse against the company. There's one variation of this case where she, at least press reports indicate that she has pointed to one of her colleagues, a male colleague, who may have engaged in some you know, obscenities online with respect to. So there may be a gender discrimination. I do think that there's a difference. The fact that this went viral, and again, we're dealing in the age of social media. The fact that this went viral, I think, is probably where the company would say, "This is such bad publicity for us. This is our client. The government is our client."
Now, Ms. Briskman did go into her company and tell them what happened. Could she have done that in a different way, perhaps, and maybe found a different legal avenue?
So from press reports, it seems like Ms. Briskman went in and basically generally voiced her displeasure that she wasn't a fan of the president, and she did this, and she wanted to make sure that she sort of got out in front of this. One of the things that she could have done, so this gets a little bit into the weeds, but every employee in the United States is protected when they are talking about and trying to improve the terms and conditions of their employment. They call them Section 7 rights, but again, that's only employment geeks like myself would get into that. But had she gone into her employer and said, "Listen, I want to tell you I did this, and let me tell you why I did it. I'm so concerned by what the president is doing with respect to health care, with respect to undoing the Obama overtime regulations. I'm concerned about what it's doing to my fellow workers here at the company, and that's why I did it." She may have been able to sort of bootstrap that she was engaged in what they call protected activity.
Sounds like a little bit of a long shot in this case.
I think that that's right, and clearly she was being real, and that probably was not in her mindset. Most people would not have been thinking about the overtime regulations when they're flipping off the president going to his golf course. But I raise it to show that just because you critique your company or you critique, you know, people who impact your company, that doesn't automatically give a means to firing, and that there are certain protections even for private sector employees out there.
Because there is one more possibility, I guess, in these types of cases, and that is the company gets a backlash because of what it did to an employee. And it could be 50 people, but with 50 people, you can make a million Twitter hits and so forth. I mean, there's an amplification factor that I think goes beyond the reality. But nevertheless, companies do react to that. So it's possible they could reinstate her because of the backlash against them.
No, that's right. There's a real balancing act here for companies. We've seen it with other companies that have maybe been part of the president's commission on business. Do they associate with the president? Do they not? And you, in some ways, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because in this situation, you know, they did cut ties with this employee thinking this will decrease the backlash from Trump supporters. But they also got a lot of backlash from, you know, the Trump haters. And they're not off scot-free by virtue of taking this action.
I guess maybe we all should remember what we learned in first grade, how to speak civilly, maybe.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm sure she didn't go out and plan it that day. And I'm sure she probably in some ways, although it sounds like she's become a bit of a heroine to certain people. But I'm sure, you know, this is disruptive in her life. And I'm sure she probably regrets that she expressed it that way as opposed to, you know, maybe just doing your normal protesting where you do a sign outside of the White House or something.
Declan Leonard is managing partner at the law firm Baranzweig Leonard. Thanks so much.
It was great talking to you, Tom.
We'll post this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.